So many are out sick today, and Brother John and some of his family, and we just need to keep on praying that the rest of us don't come down with the same thing. We do appreciate the health the Lord has given to us and pray the Lord will bless us today as we seek to serve him and learn concerning him. In Ephesians, the 19th chapter, in verse 20, in spite of the fact that we are sick, we need to be ready to give thanks in all things. And that includes our sickness, that includes whatever happens. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And here it is, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So giving thanks to God the Father always for all things. Now, if we are really thankful for every single thing that happens, how many times are we going to be disappointed or angry? You know, if this verse really comes to fruition in our hearts, that we truly are thankful for all things, then our faith in God will have grown greatly. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 13 and 14, how can we murmur or complain if everything happens for good and if God is guiding all these things? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if God is working in us and we're thankful in all things, then verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do some of us need to have some changes made? I think probably all of us need to have some changes made. We need to trust the Lord that these things are good. And when he says he's working all things for good for those that are called, love him and called according to his purpose, it's a fact. All things are good. So there should never be any need to complain about anything at any time. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 22 and 23, can we rejoice when we are rejected by the brethren? Luke 6, 22 and 23. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So our understanding of the prophets is that God's going to save all these prophets. And when we look at Jeremiah and some of these other prophets and all they endured, he tells us when that same thing happens to you that happened to my prophets in the Old Testament, he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. So if we leap for joy in these matters, when are we going to be unhappy about anything that happens? In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 7, he again tells us not give thanks always in all things, but he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So if we rejoice in the Lord at all times, when are we going to be angry or upset about anything that happens? And then he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, so we need to be moderate in everything. And then he says, be careful, that's anxious about nothing. Then what should we do? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there it is again, let your request be made known unto God. So we need to be thankful for literally everything that happens, even when it looks like it's going wrong. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, there are many reasons for us to give thanks for God and to God. And one of these is that God is good and his mercy endures forever. And, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So we do need to thank the Lord because he's always good. He doesn't change. And so when all these things happen, we need to understand they're happening for our good. And if it's for our good, when are we going to get upset? Psalms 136, verses 1 through 4. Psalms 136, 1 through 4, and many times he tells us to give thanks in these verses. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," and here's why. "He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." You know, it's good that he is Lord of all lords, that he is God of all gods. "To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." So we need to thank God for his great wonders that he has done and for all he's doing now. Psalms 136, verses 5 through 9. "To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever." We need to be thankful for that. "To him that stretched out the earth above the waters." What would we do if he hadn't done that? "To him that made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day." What would we do without the sun? "The moon and the stars to rule by night." What would we do at night if there were no light at all? And then verses 10 to 15, "To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn." So here is God now creating the nation of Israel so that he can bring Christ and the prophecies and the scriptures through the Israelites so that we would have the truth of God and understand God. It's in the Old Testament that we really get a good picture of what God is and how he relates with men who are in, were in the likeness that we have. So he brought Israel out from among Egypt with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm. "To him that divided the Red Sea into parts, he made Israel to pass through the midst of it, overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea." And that's how he created this nation of Israel. That nation of Israel has been a great blessing to us, in spite of the fact they weren't a good people for the main part. In Psalm 75 and verse 1, "We should thank God for his creation. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." We need to be thankful to God for all these things. And then in Psalms 33 and verse 6, "We should be very thankful for his creating this world that we live on. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." We need to be thankful that we have somewhere to live. In Psalms 33, verses 8 and 9, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Why? "For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Our God is marvelous, and we need to be thankful that he is our God. In Psalms 148, verses 5 and 6, "Let them praise the name of the Lord." Why? "For he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass." We need to be thankful that these things are here, and they've lasted these 6,000 years. In Revelation, the 4th chapter, in verse 11, "Not only should we be thankful," Revelation 4 and verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So not only should we be thankful for all these things that God has created and give him glory and honor and power, but we need to be thankful that he created them for his purpose. What would happen if he created it for some of our politicians' purposes? You know, we might not have very much. He created it for his purpose. What if he created it for my purpose and not yours? You know, that wouldn't go either. What about your purpose and not mine? Now, we need to be thankful that God created these things for his purpose. He is using this world to form the hearts of men, and the hearts and the minds of men are eternal. He's forming our hearts that will last forever and ever. He's even forming the wicked people's hearts. When they are born, they're not the very same as they are when they die. They've changed. And who did that changing? God is the one that does all that. And we need to be thankful that God is doing all these things for all people, and especially for those who are saved, and especially for our own souls. In Psalms 105, verse 1, He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make his deeds, known his deeds among the people." We should be telling others concerning the Lord so that they can thank him also. Then in Psalms 111, verses 1 and 2, David considered all the works that God had done and continued to do in his lifetime. He says, "Praise ye the Lord." Well, if we remember what God has done, we'll do that. David says, "I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure in them." So anyone who has pleasure in the works of God, who are thankful for what God has done, are going to be seeking out all of his works. God has done these works for a purpose, and it is an eternal purpose. He's seeking to form our minds and hearts to be ready to live with him forever and ever. But if we have evil hearts, can we live with him? If we have unfaithful hearts, can we live with him? There won't be a place for us in heaven if he doesn't form our hearts. And he'll form our hearts if we are cooperating with him, if we listen to his commands. In Psalms 111, verse 3 and 4, "His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever." His works are honorable. We need to be thankful for that, and glorious. "He made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." So in the very fact that he reminds us by writing all these things down, we need to be thankful for that also. Otherwise, if we knew nothing about what God had done in the past, what would we be thankful for? Well, we'd only see a few things that are happening right now. But having seen these things through his eyes, through the scriptures, we can be very thankful to him for all the mighty and marvelous works and things that he's done. Psalms 119, verse 62, "We should consider his righteous judgments and be thankful for his judgments. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." So David loved God, and he loved God's righteous judgments. What would happen if the devil ruled this world? I don't think we'd want to live here. None of us would. But God is the one that has righteous judgments, and that's why we want to stay here. In Psalms 119, verse 164, David continually thought on God's righteous judgments. "Seven times do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." So we need to be thankful for these judgments that God has made. It's all part of his truth in the scriptures. In Acts the 17th chapter, verse 31, what about his righteous judgments? Acts 17:31, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness." There are his righteous judgments. Should we know those righteous judgments? Well, those righteous judgments are going to be what we will be judged for on that day. And if we don't know his righteous judgment, we're going to be breaking his commandments and his rules regularly. What's going to happen on judgment day? He's going to call us to account. "And he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." So all men can be assured there will be a judgment day because God has raised Jesus from the dead. In Revelation 19, verses 11 to 15, Revelation 19, starting in verse 11, he appears to describe his judgment on those who don't fear him. So these are all part of his righteous judgments. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war." So he judges. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." Who does this look like? "And his name is called the Word of God." Who does that look like? "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Who are these following him on white horses? And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So what does God plan to do for all those who are not obeying his commandments? And how can we know his commandments if we don't read them or hear them? So God has a plan, both for us, and his righteous judgments are going to be also on those who are evil. In Colossians, the first chapter, verses 12 and 13, we need to be thankful for Christ's eternal kingdom. And it's strange that the world says that Christ failed to set up his kingdom. Yet Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. So if Jesus said the kingdom is at hand and it didn't come, what about Christ's prophecy? His prophecy would be false. Could we trust him if he promises a kingdom and promises eternal life and doesn't fulfill his promise on the kingdom? No, we're dependent on his faithfulness in presenting what he has. So the kingdom is here. He says, giving thanks in verse 12 unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, there's Satan's power, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So if he's translated these people into the kingdom, does the kingdom exist? The kingdom does exist. John, the 5th chapter, verses 24 and 25, we need to be thankful for his eternal kingdom. We need to be a part of that eternal body of Christ. John, the 5th chapter, verses 24 to 26, we should be thankful that the Father has given Jesus the power to give life eternal. Verily, verily, verse 24, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath eternal life. So what do we have to do? We need to believe on the Father that sent the Son and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So how are we going to get life if we have life? It has to come from Jesus. And the Father gave him to have life in himself. In John the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26, John 11, 25 and 26, he tells us what kind of eternal life this is. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Mary says, yes, I believe that. Well, if we never die, what kind of life is that? We are alive before the Father. The world is dead before the Father, dead in their trespasses and sin. Those that come into Christ, into the body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, they're alive to God, and they'll always be alive to God. They'll never die spiritually. They'll always be with the Father. So 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10, we need to be thankful for all these great and precious promises. 2 Chronicles 12, 7 through 10, Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, he had many, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Someone says, well, what was the thorn? Well, he tells us, it's the messenger of Satan. And what's this messenger doing? He's buffeting Paul. Now, he doesn't tell us how he's buffeting Paul, but he is. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it, this messenger of Satan, might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do we want his strength? He says, his strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul responds, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's how he's being formed. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So as these temptations come and Paul fights the temptation and he overcomes, is he getting weaker or stronger? He's getting much stronger. And every time he comes into a weakness in a temptation, and if he overcomes, he becomes stronger. What about us? Should we be thankful for our weakness so that we can become stronger? In Psalms 30 and verse 4, he's made a way for us to become holy as he is holy. Sing unto the Lord, Psalms 30, verse 4, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We need to be thankful for God's holiness. And what is holiness? That's being set apart. God is set apart for his purpose, and we need to be thankful that he is. In Isaiah 6, verses 2 through 4, Isaiah 6, verse 2, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. How many wings do angels have? Well, we don't know, but here the seraphim have six. Where are they? With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. So he's got six wings here. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, God is holy. We need to be thankful at the remembrance of his holiness. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. We need to be thankful that God is holy. In Revelation 4, verses 8 and 9, this is something we need to keep in mind at all times. Revelation 8, and the four beasts, literally living creatures in the Greek, had each one of them six wings about him. So was he a cherubim or a seraphim or something else? Well, the seraphim had six wings. These living creatures have six wings. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts, the living creatures, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever. So here, these are never ceasing to say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. In Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, All right, here are these creatures. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all these things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Are we thankful for God's purpose? That's what he wants us to be. God has created this world for his purpose. Well, what do men have today? Everybody's got his own purpose, and every man is out looking to his own things to do his own will. And how many are concerned with the purpose that God has? God's purpose is eternal. He created our minds, hearts, and souls. They're unseen. God says the things unseen, they're eternal. Your mind, your heart, your soul, they're eternal. And God wants you to put his heart into your heart and your soul and your mind. So God is doing these things. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. We have hope of being holy as he is holy. He's set apart for his purpose. Can we do that too? We can also be holy in being set apart for his purpose. First Peter 1:15, But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Can we be holy? That's a command of God. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. He is holy in that he is holy, set apart for one purpose, and that is to form the hearts of men. He wants to form the heart of Christ so we'll be ready to live with him in heaven. If we have half the heart of Christ and half the heart of Satan, where's he going to put us? You know, we've got to get rid of these evil parts in our hearts so that we're ready and, as he says, worthy to be holy and live with him forever. We need to find a way to get rid of these evil things in our hearts. And if we obey the commands of God, he tells us he'll get rid of those things. But we've got to find his commands and obey them. We need to be fully set apart for that one purpose that God has called us to. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 9 and 10, he tells us what he's doing here in these commandments that he gives us. Furthermore, verse 9, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We understand our fathers gave us discipline. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We need to listen to the eternal Father. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Were they always right in what they did? Well, they weren't. And many times men make mistakes, but what about God? He says, God does this. His chastening is for our profit. And then he tells us why. He wants us to be partakers of his holiness. Can we do that? If we will obey the commands of God, we can do that. God is there. He wants us to be thankful for everything he's doing and has done and will do. And we need to be thankful. And if we are thankful for what God is doing, he's all wise. He can't make mistakes. We'll be happy at all times for everything that happens, and we need to be. And so the Lord then calls those that are in the world, and he tells them we need to turn to him and listen to him and turn to Christ and be called according to his purpose. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. So how do we get into his spiritual body? He says, by one spirit, we're all baptized into that one body. So he's ready to accept us if we'll accept his purpose. And if we'll be thankful for all things that he does, then he's ready to work with us and form Christ's heart in us so that we'll be kind and pure and holy, righteous, godly, patient, and have all the parts of the love of Christ. It's a beautiful calling, and that's what God is calling men to. And if we're subject to, you're subject to the invitation, we would encourage you to repent, have the new mind that you're going to live for God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, his authority, for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And that will make you part of his family. Men have other ways to become part of his family, but it's not in Scripture. This is the way we get into the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. If you understand what he's calling you to and you're ready to obey his command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we would ask you to come now while we stand together and sing.
Saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Judgment day. Are you ready?
see everyone this morning. I hope everyone travels home safe, Lord willing, and is back tonight. Any additional announcements that need to be made? If not, we'll ask Brother Glenn to dismiss us with a prayer.
Let us pray. Our loving and merciful Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou art righteous, our Father, thou art holy, and we know that from thy scriptures, and we thank you for those scriptures, our Father, that we can understand you and that we can know your will for us, and that we know and understand the purpose that you have for us, why you have brought us here to this earth, our Father, and given us life through Jesus, and we thank you for that life, and that life is only in Christ. And our Father, we pray that we each one will have that mind that Christ has, that we each want to be righteous and we want to be holy like you are. And our Father, we thank you for your answering our prayers, for helping us to be that way, to be like Christ. And we ask you to conform us to his image and transform us from this world by the renewing of our mind. And we thank you that you have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we pray that we would grow in these things, that we would be perfect in your sight, complete, our Father, and that we would praise you more and more. You deserve our praise and the praise of everyone and everything upon this earth, our Father. Please continue to work with us and help us to do good works and bear good fruits for you and always abound in the work of the Lord. We thank you so much for Jesus that has shown us all these things, our Father, and thy goodness is in him. And we pray that we would have that thy strength and thy wisdom and thy knowledge always in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray.